What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and we've been talking about divorce and difficult marriages. And really, this conversation came about because a listener wrote in and said, "Hey, Dr. G, you haven't really said anything about divorce on all of your Transform series." And I thought, yeah, you know what? You're right. And it is something that is a sad reality. Maybe there's some part of me that just wants to avoid the difficult conversations of divorce and biblical grounds for divorce. But it is a reality. And I think as a Christian, you need to at least have a conviction that's mostly formed about what qualifies as grounds for divorce. It's not really the most exciting premarital stuff, though. You know, week six, it's like, okay, if things don't work, here is how you know you guys have grounds to leave each other. Nobody wants to talk about it. It's not really something that you hear taught from the pulpit quite often, just because if you're under expositional teaching, which I hope that you are, you get there as the text gets there, and there's maybe five or six clear passages that I mentioned in our last episode. So you don't always hear about biblical grounds for divorce. So I want to kind of tease out what I said in the last episode. In our last episode, I said that primarily what you're going to see is that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are grounds for divorce. We want to be candid about that. Divorce is permitted, but remember Jesus's clarification in Matthew 19. It's not commanded, it's permitted. So Moses allowed, not commanded. The second thing that we said is that the two criteria are primarily sexual immorality and physical abandonment. And when it comes to abandonment, we're talking about someone who has left. We don't know where they are. That's the immediate context of 1 Corinthians 7:15. I do think whenever someone is emotionally abandoning you or financially abandoning you or whatever that looks like, that you should work through that with a wise spiritual leader, an experienced biblical counselor for sure. Crack that egg and unpack some of what's going on there. But in the broad strokes, what are the two criteria? Sexual immorality and then abandonment. So here's a statement that I really try to communicate to anybody when talking about divorce, whether it's a student, whether it's counseling, whether I'm teaching on the road somewhere. This is the principle that I would encourage you to think through. Everything that leads to divorce is sinful, but not all divorces are sinful. And I think that's actually a Jay Adams-ism. I'm pretty sure I'm not smart enough to come up with that one. But what it means is that if you're talking about divorce, there has been sin in your marriage. What a weird reality. You're not talking about divorce if you're both loving each other, if he's leading like Christ leads and she's honoring and revering him like the church does Christ. You don't talk about divorce. It's not even an issue. You don't want to get divorced. You love each other and you're being Christ-like toward each other. So what got you to that point? At least one of you is being ungodly, maybe both of you, but at least one of you. That's how you got to the point of divorce. So that's what we mean. Everything that leads to divorce is sinful, but there are actually biblical grounds for divorce. And those biblical grounds are sexual immorality and physical abandonment. So I want to spend some time working through, in these two segments of this episode, I want to work through practical considerations. And many of you, this isn't some ethereal conversation, like a what if. Like you're on the cusp, you know someone that's on the cusp of divorce, their marriage is really hard right now, and they're thinking through biblical options. Let me give you some criteria, and I am going to do this somewhat in a progressive order, meaning where would I start and where do I start in counseling, and then how would I end as a person is really getting to that cusp of filing for divorce. Okay, first thing, if you're at the point in your marriage where you're thinking about divorce, I want Matthew 19:6 to be your first priority. So let me turn there. If you remember this from last week's episode, Matthew 19, verse 6, this is what you hear preached at almost every wedding ceremony. They are no longer two, speaking of the man and the woman in Genesis 2:24. They are no longer two, but they are now one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. There it is. God wants your marriage to work, Remember Brad Bigney, not just survive, but thrive. God wants your marriage to work. I am very comfortable saying that. What if you're married to an unbeliever? God wants your marriage to work. What if they're just acting like a total bum? God wants your marriage to work. God is honored in the permanency of your marriage. Why? Because it honors him in what it takes to have a permanent marriage. Purity, humility, conflict resolution, sacrifice, putting others' interests before your own. All of that is honoring to the Lord. So God is not immediately honored in divorce. I do think there are biblical grounds, let me be clear. But what's more beautiful, pursuing divorce or pursuing working through the difficulties of your marriage? All of us know that working through the difficulties of your marriage is actually more beautiful. So if you're quick to pull the trigger, I think it actually says more about your heart than it does the marriage. Yo, gift master, leave me alone. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to like dig my thumb into an open wound here. But the reality is that if you're like, nope, grounds for divorce, they sneezed twice, didn't say, excuse me, it's over. Well, that's really on you. You're being hypercritical. And if your hand is hovering over the divorce button and you're just waiting, you're just looking for a reason, shame on you, really shame on you. You are being a hypercritical person. You're not bearing with others. You're not growing in love. You're not a very merciful individual. In our vocabulary in my house, I don't even know what the divorce word means. It's not a word that we use. And thank the Lord, my wife shares that conviction. She has never once been, well, maybe we should just get divorced. I've never heard that from her. It's not a category. We don't even know what that means. It's we are with each other and we are committed to making this work because we love the Lord and we love each other most days. So this is the reality that we don't know what that means. So if you're quick to pull that trigger, I think you really need to repent of that hard attitude. Repent of being critical, repent of being unloving and unmerciful. Really dig at God has called me to have a priority of the permanence of my marriage. There is no escape hatch. I need to learn to make it work in a way that honors the Lord and represents a God-honoring marriage. So that means that you get help and you don't give up. Get help, don't give up. I don't know what it is generationally, but I look at some older folks' marriages, and when I say older, I mean 70 and up, 65 and up. Man, that's retirement age. Sorry if you're that age and listening to this and you don't feel older. If you qualify for Social Security, I think it's a fair categorization to say you're older. There it is. There's my disclaimer. I think I've seen multiple marriages that are, they've been together 40 years, but it's more like a roommate. They sleep in different rooms. They kind of bicker all the time. There's no intimacy. And I don't mean physical intimacy. I just mean no cuddly, no jokey together, no public displays of affection. And I just think, sheesh, man. Like, yeah, technically you guys are married, but it's kind of like living with a roommate here. So my two cents is that in this process, there is no thing as I am going to quiet quit and let's just go to your room and I'll go to my room. We'll talk when the monthly bills are due. See you on the first. I'm hanging out with the boys 5 nights a week. There's no quiet quitting. We're not accepting the lame status of our marriage. And that's, I know that's easier said than done. I recognize that. But you know that it has to be fixed. It's like water leaking into your house. It's like, well, if I ignore this, it's just going to get worse and it might kill somebody. Yeah, that's true. So now the reality is that we have to be able to say, if my marriage is not good, then I want to work on it. I'm not accepting it. I'm not giving up. I'm going to get help. Ladies, I want to be candid that in my counseling experience, most of the time it's been a wife that's willing to work on it, but a husband that's been not great. So if you are a wife married to a guy that won't work on it, then I think you should reach out for counseling about how to be faithful to a 1 Peter 3:1 man. And if you're unfamiliar with that, it talks about a man who is disobedient to the word. Disobedient to the word. He's not listening to God. It's not just about you, but he's flagrantly living in disobedience to God. How do you influence him? So you can't get marriage counseling per se, but you can have someone strengthen your hands when it comes to being a godly influence on him. Get that kind of help, even if you can't get marriage help. So don't give up. Don't quiet quit. So number one, I said, work on it. The permanency of marriage. God wants your marriage to work. Don't be a person that is quick to pull the trigger. Number two, I said, get help and don't give up. Seek for a reconciliation as goal. And if you can't do that, then work on being a godly spouse. Number three, when things get gnarly, we will always err towards protecting women and children. So if anything comes up in a counseling situation, I want you to know that substance abuse, alcohol abuse, and yes, I am using the terms abuse, not addiction, yelling, financial improprieties like gambling addictions, when those come up, we're going to err towards protecting women and children. And I think women, especially stay-at-home moms, are in an especially vulnerable position. So me as counselor, I am going to default towards ensuring that they're okay. It doesn't mean I demonize men and that they become the whipping boy, but it does mean if there's any type of substance abuse, any type of physical abuse, like we're going to call the cops. We're going to ensure that children are protected. We will call DCFS if some type of abuse is coming up. If there's substance abuse in the home, that's a crime, and we're not going to tolerate that type of stuff. And in fact, there are means to continue to protect whenever things get gnarly. So let me do this. Let me finish here. Let's take a short break. And when we come back, I'll pick up with a couple more ideas about when things get gnarly. We'll be right back.
Back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a second as he continues to talk about navigating hard marriages. And let me share something that hopefully will be kind of meaningful if you're taking all of this in. Good and Angry by David Pallison. It's a resource available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. If you want to understand how to deal with heart issues, especially in a difficult marriage, you really need to pick up this resource because Dr. Pallison gets to the root of how anger tangles us up in this web of bitterness, especially when we're dealing with deep hurts in relationships. And it helps not only with marriages, but all relationships in your life, but specifically your marriages. I would pick up David Pallison's Good and Angry, available right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking of resources that can transform your thinking like David Pallison's Good and Angry can, have you downloaded the Fortis Plus app just yet? Oh man, instead of late night social media doom scrolling, you could be filling your mind with truth with the Fortis Plus app. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything at all. Let me tell you what you could be filling your mind with. This program right here, Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, in the top 1% of all podcasts in the world. And all of our other new resources, I'm talking about Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, Thrive with Brad Bigney, and Fortis News with yours truly. All of these brand new programs that have been around less than 6 months, they're now in the top 10% of all podcasts worldwide. And that's what you can be filling your mind with if you download the Fortis Plus app right now. And it's absolutely free of charge. And something else exciting that I wanted to share with you, it's happening at the Masters University. They just ranked top 3 for best student life in California. But what really gets me excited about the Masters University is hearing about things like their entrepreneurship program. They actually put students in front of real investors to launch startups. Talk about practical preparation for the real world. And you can find out all about them right now at masters.edu/transformed. Look, you know as well as I do, in a world where biblical truth feels increasingly rare, Fortis Institute has been standing firm. That's what we exist for. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner with us, remember, you're not just supporting another ministry. You're not just helping us keep our lights on. What you're doing is helping us equip people with God's unchanging truth when they need it the most, which in this world we're living in is right now. Find out how you can join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now at fortisinstitute.org. And now, let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. Thank you, Jimmy, for your resources. Fortis News Break, check it out. Jimmy does a great job. It's like I listen to Jimmy and I get the nuggets that I want in 5 minutes and I'm not spammed with this black hole of news that I really don't need to know about. So Jimmy, thank you for your work there and make sure you get the Fortis Plus app. Download it. Meow. Okay. Practical applications. The last segment, I was kind of giving you some meatier stuff. And I said, don't be quick to pull the trigger, seek to get help, but err on the side of protecting women and children. And the last thing that I'll say on this is that we're always going to ensure that women and children are safe, taken care of, protected. And if that means that a husband needs to be temporarily inconvenienced, totally fair. And I think a godly man should be open to that. But we're gonna take very seriously any safety concerns. So if there are authorities that need to hear about it, if there's Department of Child and Family Services that need to hear about it, we're gonna call them, they're gonna know. So one last measure is I am of the opinion that a legal separation can be a means of preserving a marriage. And a legal separation is not a divorce. It just freezes an ability for one spouse to spend more money, for instance. So if there's a gambling addiction, I think it could be wise to use a legal separation so that the other spouse isn't further indebted. So we're gonna take wise safety precautions, but we're doing that for the sake of the preservation of the marriage. I hope that's okay with you. Please write in if you got questions about the legal separation thing. Remember that we're saying we're gonna work on our marriage and legal separation is just a means to help us do that and then also not be further indebted or endangered in that process. I really try to communicate to anybody when talking about divorce, whether it's a student, whether it's counseling, whether I'm teaching on the road somewhere. This is the principle that I would encourage you to think through. Everything that leads to divorce is sinful, but not all divorces are sinful. So a biblical implication, do you remember Matthew 19? And this is important. When you read Deuteronomy 24, it's not a command, it's a concession. That's it. Divorce is never commanded in the Bible. Fact check me, Google it, use your AI search features. I'm open to it. Dr. Gifford, you're a loser and you got this one wrong. I'm open to that. I've gotten a couple of those emails in my lifetime, so I'm open to a third or fourth or 4,000th. But the simple fact is that divorce is not commanded. It's allowed. So if it's not commanded, that means it's a Christian liberty to decision. I almost said T-cision. So I got tea on the brain. Everyone, give me boba quickly. No, it's a decision that you have to make in your own conscience before the Lord. I can't tell you what to do. And I'm fairly convinced that no one, no pastor even, has the biblical authority to say you must get divorced. Where is that in the text? The Bible doesn't command it. I cannot command it either. I can advise. I can give you my 2 cents, but you need to make that decision before the Lord. I can tell you you have biblical grounds for divorce. I've told individuals that, both men and women. I think you have grounds for divorce based off of what has happened, but I can't tell you that you should get divorced. Why does that matter? Because a person doesn't have to. There are some very gracious and forgiving and forbearing people out there, more gracious than me, for sure. And they are open to working on their marriage if their spouse will just repent and turn from their sin. More power to them. What a great evidence of the gospel. Really, praise the Lord for those types of individuals that they are not defaulting towards divorce, but towards reconciliation. I've seen it in counseling where I'm just astounded by the faith of some women where they just say, I love him. He's acting like a fool right now, but if he'll repent, I will forgive him. And I'm just like, lady, I hope I have that kind of faith if I'm ever confronted with that type of situation personally, but that means that you don't have the biblical grounds to be like, no, lady, divorce him. Thou shalt get divorced. You can't make that statement. So there are times when I say it seems like the better part of wisdom to pursue a divorce. And divorce doesn't mean that it's impossible to get reconciled afterwards. Let me give you an example of that. So it's never commanded. I can't tell you have to do it. But there are times when I think it's just wise because of the way the other person is being unfaithful. They're misrepresenting the nature of marriage. If they are in an open relationship with another person that is not their spouse, they're dating other people, they're open about that, they're not hiding it, I really do think that it's misrepresenting Christ in the church, in all fairness. I don't think it's fair for him to have a girlfriend and a wife. And the reason why you might pursue a divorce in that is just because we're not representing the covenant of marriage. We're not representing the gospel. We're not representing Christ in the church well. And so I love you. I'm still open to that, but we need to end this because you are being unfaithful and everybody knows you're being unfaithful. I think that's one reason. I also think that at times when sexual immorality and physical abandonment has occurred, that you often are thinking of the kids as well. Do I want my kids to be exposed to mom or dad who's being immoral? Do I want them to meet mom or dad's girlfriend or boyfriend? And you just think, well, that doesn't seem like a wise way for my children to grow up. So I'm going to initiate a divorce because I have grounds for it, number one, but I also think that the kids need to have a better example. So there is a level of protection as well. And when it comes to abandonment and a person has been physically abandoned, you are still financially liable on paper. There are still loans and credit and things that you've shared a title with, cars and houses, that are now endangered if you are still married legally. So in that point, you just may say, well, hey, this isn't wise for me to take on further debt. And I don't know where they are in the world, but they're endangering some of the financial assets that we have. So I'm at least doing a legal separation, maybe a divorce. So when I say I may encourage it, that's what I mean. But never once have I ever, to my knowledge, and if I have, I need to repent of it. Never once have I ever said, you should, you must, thou shalt get divorced. I don't think I have the authority to say that. So leave it up to the person, leave it up to them and their conscience before the Lord. And if they want to forbear and deal with the junk for a while, I think you just say, well, hey, I praise the Lord that you're so forgiving. I wish I was that forgiving. So next principle, don't make these decisions of, do I have grounds for divorce or do I not? Don't make these decisions in isolation. And in fact, I think Proverbs 18:1, if you isolate yourself, you can seek your own desire. I think you make these decisions in a plurality of wisdom with your pastors and elders first. If your pastors don't want to really get involved, then a biblical counselor, a wise biblical counselor who has experience. Ideally, both. You have your elders speaking into the situation. You have a biblical counselor speaking into the situation. But can you just be real about the fact that things are murky and you can't trust yourself to be 100% objective? So if you're like, yeah, I see it straight, I cut it straight, I know exactly what I should do, I just think that you're deceived, unfortunately. It doesn't mean you're going to make a completely sinful decision, but at least balance your ideas, at least seek feedback from those that are around you. That's my two cents. And so if you're unwilling to have your elders' input and your pastor's input, what does that say about your heart? Really, you might be quick to pull the trigger. And so when you do have biblical grounds for divorce, everybody will see it. Everybody will lament over it and apologize and seek to support you. I think you'll find that you'll have a group and a community that wants to love you well through this time. So don't face these complications in isolation. Make these decisions in a plurality of wisdom. Pastors, elder, biblical counselor. And when they're all saying, yes, we agree with you, yes, you do have biblical grounds, that's when you can keep moving forward. Last principle that I'll leave you with today. Be open to what God can do over months. And in parenthesis, I said, not days. Be open to what God could do over months, not days. Well, A, the divorce process isn't quick anyways. I think it's at least 6 months in California. I don't know what it is in your state. If you filed today, you wouldn't be divorced for 6 months. And that's good. It's almost like a cool down period. Instead of saying, I'm done, pray that the Lord would help you to be open to what He is capable of doing. Ephesians 3:20, we know that He can do more than we can even imagine. So instead of saying, I'm done, my marriage is done, I'm over this, pray something like, Lord, just give me eyes to see that You are big, You are in control, and You can change my marriage. So I kind of want to be done. I'm kind of over this. I'm sick of the difficulties here. But help me to just be patient on what You can do. This allows for repentance, prayer, and demonstrated change to take place within the sinning spouse. If you find out one day that they cheated on you and the next day you file, I honestly think that you're being too quick to pull the trigger. If they are repentant and others see that, and that's demonstrated over months, I think you should be open to forgiving them and working through that. That's months, not days, though. You're hearing me on that, right? Anyone can cry and feign repentance. There is a such thing as worldly sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 9. They may have worldly sorrow. Yes, that's true, but we're saying I'm open to what God can do in my marriage. And there were significant damages here. But if they are repentant, my elders see it, my biblical counselor sees it, I see it, the kids see it, we're open to working on it. So what does that mean? Just be open to what God can do. It doesn't mean you have warm emotions. It doesn't mean that you immediately love them, but it does mean that you're just not pushing the divorce button yet. Hold off on it. So in the end, I pray for wisdom for you all as you're interacting with those that are struggling with this. I just want you to be gracious. You don't know all the details. You don't know what's going on. So you can have biblical clarity, still be gracious. Everything that leads to divorce is a sin, for sure. We acknowledge that, but not every divorce is a sin. So thanks for listening to these two parts. Let me pray for us as we close today. Lord, we know that divorce was not part of your original design, and yet you have allowed it. Help us to be individuals that are forbearing, that prioritize our marriages so that they don't get to the point where we even talk about divorce. We pray for those that have been divorced, that are going through that now, that you administer your comfort to them, that they would know that they can honor you no matter what, and they can honor you no matter what their spouse is doing. And may that give them purpose and hope, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.